Why doesn't BP settle instead of going through a trial?
Wake up to the day's top business headlines. Subscribe to the Marketplace Morning Report podcast. It's on iTunes and marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Monday, the fourth day of March. And BP is back in federal court today as the civil trial over the Gulf oil spill begins its second week. The only surprise so far is that the trial is still going on, that the two sides haven't settled yet. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
So far, the plaintiffs have gone over errors in the BP disaster that are widely known. A technician missing blowout signs, questionable well design and testing. BP denied gross negligence. And the market went, eh, no change in the stock price. Here's Investec analyst Stuart Joiner in London.
The market still believes that there will be a settlement, that we're not looking at a 3 or 4 or even longer year process in terms of the resolution of this issue.
He says BP wants to avoid an embarrassing trial and the risk of losing and shelling out $30 billion. University of Richmond law professor Carl Tobias says the plaintiffs, the feds, the states, the private parties, they may want to settle too and avoid a decade or more of lawsuits. It's happened.
The closest precedent is probably the Exxon Valdez disaster, and that litigation went on interminably.
Tobias thinks the value of continuing the trial is to hash out publicly what happened. Once court arguments really get going, the settlement window could close in the next week or two. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Now to a survey out today from Marketplace and the Chronicle of Higher Education on what employers are looking for when they're hiring. It turns out what happens outside the classroom is more important to them than what happens inside the classroom. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR, Amy Scott reports.
Kristen Hayes arrives for her first day of work at a nonprofit called YAI.
Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
Hayes is a senior at Stony Brook University in New York. She'll be working part-time, helping care for disabled adults at a group home.
This is Kristen.
Hi, how are you?
We're going to spend some time with you today. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. The job is part of a cooperative education program at Stony Brook. It's essentially a paid internship with credit toward her degree. Hayes is a biology major and plans to apply to grad school to become a physician's assistant.
To be a competitive applicant, you really need to have a variety of experience. So I really wanted to get more experience in the field.
It'll help in the job market, too. Dan Barrett is a senior reporter at the Chronicle of Higher Education, which teamed up with Marketplace to find out what employers want from today's college graduates. Barrett says in the survey, internships rose to the top.
More important than where they went to college, the major they pursued, and even their grade point average. The group McGuire Associates that did this market research said an internship is the single most important credential for recent college graduates.
Colleges have been listening. Stony Brook is one of 9 campuses in the State University of New York, or SUNY, system piloting cooperative education this year. Nancy Zimpfer is the SUNY chancellor.
Our goal is that all 465,000 students who enroll annually at SUNY have some sort of experiential education experience.
Some degree programs require internships. David Carter's didn't, though his professors recommended he do one. He studied mechanical engineering at the University of Massachusetts in Lowell. In spite of good grades and a practical major, Carter hasn't been able to find work.
If I had done an internship, then I wouldn't have been sitting on my thumbs the last 2 years trying to find a job.
The numbers back him up. The National Association of Colleges and Employers says 63% of paid interns in the class of 2012 had at least one job offer when they graduated. Of those who did no internship, only about 40% had an offer. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And we'll have more results from the survey later today on Marketplace. One of the weirdest cars of the 21st century has got to be the Chrysler PT Cruiser, which is probably why it ended up on rental car lots all across America. Well, now most of the rental car fleets have cycled the Cruiser out of their lots. And here with an obituary of the PT Cruiser is Keenan Mayo of Bloomberg Businessweek. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what happened to the PT Cruiser?
Well, the thing is that it was a novelty car. And like all novelty items, the enthusiasm faded. And the only people who were really buying it for much of the last decade were the rental car companies. And they were buying it because it was cheap. And they could run it for a certain amount of time, and then they could sell it back to Chrysler, who would then dump it into used car auctions. So when the rental car companies can no longer buy this car cheap after government intervention in Detroit, they stop buying them.
And at the peak, how many cars are we talking about in terms of PT Cruisers out there at Hertz or Avis or any of these companies?
I think we reached peak PT Cruiser probably in the late 2000s, around 2008, 2009. Over the course of a 10-year run, there was 1.4 million PT Cruisers sold.
Have you ever been to a rental car agency and had to rent a PT Cruiser when you didn't want to?
Yes, I have. And it was about 2008, and I was on a business trip.
You remember the year, exactly.
Yes, and I was issued a PT Cruiser, and it was very underpowered as a car. It had this weak four-cylinder engine. And the other problem was that you're driving it and people stare at you. And the one person I spoke to in the article, who a business traveler, she described it as, you know, it's what Steve Carell drove in The Office. And I think in many ways that character kind of embodies the car. It's this playful, kind of hapless, but like deep down he thinks he's cool. And I think a lot of, you know, Americans associate the PT Cruiser driver with that person.
Keenan Mayo of Bloomberg Businessweek, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, what's the first word that comes to mind when you see a PT Cruiser? Go to our Marketplace Facebook page and let us know. And here are some of the responses we've gotten so far. Junk, lame, retro, turtlemobile, boring, awful, uninspired, PT loser. And this, we should study in detail the mind of the individual that chooses to purchase such a car. I don't know, that's a little harsh. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.